Let me up and let me stand. I think from heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. I grant my feet on higher ground. I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 4 is a great chapter of the Bible. Well, in fact, every chapter of the Bible is great. We just need to get into the Word and start studying it. And stay close to the Lord and let Him guide us and lead us into all truth. And of course, that's what the Holy Spirit does once we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit lives with us and He is our guide. He guides us into all truth as we're reading and studying the Word of God. Well, now, last time we left off, we were talking about water baptism, how that water baptism comes after salvation, that a person believes and then they get baptized. And we also noticed, and I brought to your attention the baptism of going down into the water, how that it represented the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I used the illustration of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, how that Philip told the Ethiopian about being saved. The Ethiopian got saved. And we read in verse 38 of Acts chapter 8, 38 and 39, how that they went down into the water. Philip baptized the Ethiopian, and then he was caught away. Philip was gone. And I made mention that you and I are saved people. We don't know when we're going to be caught away, when we're going to leave this life. We're either going to go up to be with the Lord in the air to rapture, or this breath, the breath is going to leave our body, and we're going to go to be with the Lord at that time. So we really don't know when we're going, so we need to be busy right now serving God and letting the Lord lead and guide us and help other people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't want to be a person who is stingy with our salvation. We want to share it with other individuals. We want to share Jesus with other people so that they too one day can be with us in glory and we can rejoice together. Well, and notice, if you would, and I said the Ethiopian, Philip went down into the water and they came up out of the water. I believe that Philip got wet that day as well. He went down into, I've done that. I've baptized individuals before, and sometimes I get as wet as that individual when they go down into the water. It splashes on me or whatever. But I believe one of the greatest proofs to me about complete immersion for water baptism is found in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. It says there, in Jesus. Now, Jesus was baptized. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Well, Jesus Christ, he thought baptism by immersion was important, and that's the reason he was placed under the water. Now, Jesus didn't get baptized to get saved. He didn't get baptized because of sin in his life. We know that Jesus never sinned, that Jesus was perfect, that there was no guile, the Bible says, was found in his mouth. Nothing was wrong with Jesus. But he was showing the people that he was following what God wanted him to do, to show the people that his ministry was beginning. And from that point on, we see how that Jesus went forth preaching and teaching and telling people about heaven, how they could go to heaven one day. Well, that's one of the greatest proofs. But another proof to me is the fact is that when Jesus was buried, he wasn't just partially buried in a tomb. He was placed there altogether. In other words, he went completely into that tomb. He was completely buried in that tomb. Well, that's the way that water baptism is. We are buried in the water. And when Jesus died, they didn't sprinkle just a little bit of dirt on him. They placed him in that tomb. You know, baptism is not sprinkling just a little bit of water on a person. It's getting wet. It's going down into. It's getting immersed, submerged in the water. It's a representation of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ when a person goes under the water. Remember, baptism is a symbol of the death. They stand in the water. It's a symbol of the death, burial. They go down into the water. And then it's a representation of coming up out of the water. Death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we remember, and that's the way we show people about. That's actually a testimony to God and to people. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all lost in sin if he did not die, if he did not get buried, if he did not raise from the grave. But I got news for you. He did all of those things. He died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and he rose from the grave, and he's alive forevermore. And because he lives, we live. We have eternal life once we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Well, I also believe, now we're talking about one baptism. Now that is one baptism about salvation, after salvation. I believe there is only one baptism after salvation. Well, why would I believe that a saved person should only be baptized one time? Now, some people get baptized more than once, but let me give you a couple of reasons why I believe that a person should only be baptized one time. Well, let me ask you, how many times did Christ die on the cross? One time. How many times was Christ buried? One time. How many times did Christ rise from the grave? One time. How many times can a person be saved? One time. So I believe that when we get baptized, it's a one-time deal. We get saved one time, and we go down into that watery grave because Christ is not going to die anymore. He's not going to be buried anymore. He's not going to rise from the dead anymore. We're not going to be saved again. All of that has already taken place. So therefore, I personally believe that there's no need for a second baptism, one baptism after salvation. Well, I trust that that answers what we've gone through so far about baptism. I trust that you've got a better idea or a clearer idea about baptism. And I know that I did not go into it in depth, but I pray that just what I presented to you will help you understand the importance of baptism and the mode of baptism in water. Well, now we go to verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, one God and Father of all. Now, we've been looking at the word one in several of these verses now, but notice, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Well, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10 comes to mind when I see this verse. It says there, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? So we read there in Malachi about one Father, one God. There's only one God. There is not a plurality of gods. There's only one God. Now you say, well, you know, you talk about the Trinity. Well, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one God. Not many gods, as some cults would teach you even today, that there's more than one God. And when they do that, they're trying to tell you that there's more than one way to heaven. But the Bible tells us that there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Or in other words, through me. The Bible teaches us that there's only one way. There's only one God. There's only one salvation. And that one salvation is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is, he's our Lord once we've trusted him as Lord and Savior. So there's one God, there's one Savior, and there's one Holy Spirit. They're all God. Now, my finite mind cannot conceive of everything that I read or that I hear or that I try to comprehend everything that I read in the Word of God. But I found this out. that as I study the Word of God, things become a little clearer. But there are certain things that my mind as a human being cannot grasp fully. What do? I take by faith what God says in His Word. And God's Word teaches that there is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I take God at His Word. Well, notice if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things." Now, he's speaking of God the Father in heaven, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Jesus Christ is all in all. He is our Savior. God the Father is all in all. He's our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is all in all. He dwells within us. You see, God can be everywhere at one time. There is nothing that hinders God. You know, I've started thinking about this some time ago, and we know that when we get to heaven, I believe that we're going to see Jesus Christ. I believe that He's going to be personal. I believe that He's going to speak to me personally. I believe He's going to introduce me to God the Father personally. Well, how many millions of people will He be seeing personally and introducing to His Heavenly Father and to our Heavenly Father? Well, how can that be? Well, Jesus is God. Jesus can be everywhere at the same time. Now, I know that once again, my mind cannot understand everything, but I believe that's what's going to happen. I believe I'm going to be introduced personally to God the Father by my Savior, Jesus Christ, because Jesus can be introducing each individual personally because He's God. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent, and He's also omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Thank God that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary and to give us eternal life through His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And thank God that He did not remain in the grave, but He came out of that grave. He's alive forevermore. I'm going to read that verse once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." You see, when this was written, there were people who believed in more than one God. And there are people today who will try to tell you that there's more than one way to heaven. Some of the prominent preachers of the day, some have gone on and some are still here. They will tell you that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. That is a lie from the pit of hell. They are taking people to hell by their words, by telling them there's more than one way to heaven. And one thing that some people say is that Allah is the same as God the Father. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Allah is not my Heavenly Father. Allah is something that we need to let people know is a false God. Allah can save no one. Muhammad can save no one. Muhammad is dead. He did not rise from the grave as our Savior did. And when someone tells you that there's more than one God, more than one way to heaven, you need to say, you need to get into the Word of God and you need to study it. Better yet, you just need to tell them that Jesus saves. Don't argue with them. Just tell them what the Bible says. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come God's way or you're not going to go to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says, and thy house. God says He's wanting to save not only you, but He wants to save your house. If you've never trusted Him, you need to trust Jesus Christ today because He loves you. He gave His life for you that you could go to heaven and be with Him one day. He loved you so much that He went to the cross. He was crucified. He died. He was buried and He resurrected. He wants to give you eternal life today. Call on Him. Ask Him to come into your heart. Trust Him as God.